Why won't they let me see him? Colby yelled to no one in particular while she paced the hospital hallway. Not only frustrated and angry, she was plain spitting mad. She had waited for 6 hours, time enough for doctors to clean her up, stitch her up, and officially release her. And now they refuse to let her see Mace. Probably because you aren't family. She spun toward the voice. Who are you? The man was short, bald, and stocky, but wore a well-fitted deep blue suit and dark glasses. Who wore sunglasses inside? I can't tell you who I am. Just think of me as a concerned citizen. Concerned citizen. Right. She damn well knew he was Mace's boss. She was sick of the secret squirrel shit which landed them both in the hospital. Why won't they let me in to see him? I'm his fiancé. Maybe he had enough influence to get her into Mace's room. The man raised an eyebrow. Oh? Then Colby swore she heard, the SOB finally got the best of me, under his breath. Before she could question him on it, he continued, louder. Well, Miss Parks, congratulations. And for your wedding present, I'd like to give you Mace's walking papers. He handed her a thick manila envelope. Though free of writing on the outside, a federal government seal marked one corner. She tore her eyes away from the official-looking envelope to catch her reflection in his sunglasses. Walking papers? Yes. Agent Walker is officially retired as of midnight tonight. Colby sank down in a chair, staring at the packet. She flipped it over in her hands a couple of times before saying, "Retired? Honorably, I assume." The man laughed. There are no honors in his line of work, Ms. Parks. Just be glad we got there in time to keep him alive. She picked at the sealed edge of the envelope. She glanced up. May I? He gave a slight incline to his head, enough of an answer for her to tear the flap open. As she slid the paperwork out, she asked, How did you know where we were? She started to scan the cover letter when she realized he hadn't answered her. Colby looked up. He was gone. If it wasn't for the paperwork she held in her hands, she would have thought she imagined him. She finished scanning the letter before flipping through the rest of the package, which included details of his pension, retirement benefits, and a lot of legalese. A nurse quietly approached her. Ms. Parks, you may see him now. What? I thought, Mr. Smith explained your situation, and we realized we'd been mistaken. Colby silently thanked Mr. Smith as she rushed past the nurse and raced down the hallway. She couldn't push the door open fast enough to enter Mace's room. His head was cushioned by a pillow, his upper body held in an upright position due to the medical bed. Ugly black stitches crisscrossed his face, one ear, his arm. She stopped searching. There were too many sutured areas to count. He reminded her of Frankenstein, though not as scary. His eyes were closed and his breathing steady. An IV protruded from his left arm, and he had some sort of machine hooked to him, beeping every second or so. She dragged one of the blocky hospital room chairs next to his bed and perched on the edge. When she reached out for his right hand, the one unencumbered with tubes, he met her halfway. His warm, long fingers enveloped hers. Her eyes flicked back to his face, and he watched her through unreadable, swollen, purple eyes. He gave her fingers a slight squeeze. Without letting go of her lifeline, she placed the packet of papers gently on his chest. He lifted his head off the pillow a little, asking, "What's that?" through puffy, bruised lips. "Your tour of duty is officially over. You're retired." When he didn't respond, she didn't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing. He couldn't want to continue getting shot and beaten up. How much could a body take? After tonight, she couldn't take any more. She didn't want to say, "It's me or your career." She wouldn't do that to him. But she couldn't stand by and worry about him, or worse, lose him for good. "Good. Now I can concentrate on other things." Colby released her breath, not even realizing she'd held it while waiting for his response. He would let his job go. What other things? Building you a new home. Somewhere far away from here, somewhere safe. His words came slowly, and it took him effort to get them out, but she understood every one of them. He gripped her hand harder. I'm sorry your house was destroyed, Colby. I know. She smiled softly. I can replace a house. I can't replace you. He gave her a gentle tug, and she slid over to the edge of the hospital bed, careful not to jar him too much. I know how much it meant to you, what a haven it was for you. You're all I need now. She brushed a finger lightly down his bruised, broken features. She laid her head on his chest, feeling it rise and fall softly with his steady breathing. I love you, Mace. The movement of his chest hesitated under her cheek, and a moment later it surged and continued with its soothing rhythm. He brushed her hair away from her face with his free hand. How soon can I get out of this place? I am sick of hospitals. Soon, she answered, but truthfully, she didn't know. He had a lot of healing to do before he could ever build their home. Their home. Where do you want to go? He asked. Go? Yes. Where do you want to build our new house and our new life? He clarified. Anywhere, Mace. Anywhere you go, I'll follow. He chuckled softly, then groaned in pain. No. I think you've got it backward. I'll follow you to the ends of the earth if necessary. Colby sighed as he tightened his fingers around hers. He lifted them to his mouth and pressed them ever so lightly to his lips. She moved to lean her cheek against his, careful not to hurt him. She needed him, needed to feel him against her. She loved him and never wanted to let him go. You never answered my question, he murmured into her ear. Question? What question? Oh, yes, she laughed through her tears. Yes, yes, yes.